Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with John Redmond and special guests on Rock Sport Radio. Your place in this world.
Well, that's the talk of the town by Pretenders, getting us off, kicking us off tonight. Good evening, it's Friday night, it's just after 8 o'clock, so it must be time for Just the Juniors here on Rock Sport Radio, where we dedicate a full hour to junior football. I'm John Redmond, and I'll be joined by a special guest tonight to bring you all the news, the views, the opinions that surround the juniors in the next 60 minutes. As always, we've got a packed programme tonight. We'll be looking back to last weekend's results, looking forward to tomorrow's fixtures, and one or two other discussions we'll have along the way. As I said, I'm joined tonight by a special guest from the junior world. Tonight I'm delighted to welcome my guest as a player, and that player is Benburb goalkeeper Ryan McWilliams. Good evening, Ryan. Welcome to the show. How are you, Paul?
Evening. It's good to be here. I get the call in on for Paul. He asked if I could come in, and he says, you're probably one of the most intelligent guys.
Does that say a lot for the club, no?
Well, I don't want to say too much, you boys might be my better stick and water.
Brilliant. Before we discuss all things about the Benburb and that, Ryan, could you give your listener a brief insight to your playing history, your own career?
When I was younger, it was predominantly a boys' club. It was Gunter Morton supporters club with a gentleman called Reggie Scorer. Gentleman of a man. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. A chap called Sandy McLean, who you might well know.
Oh, Sandy, yes.
Uh-huh. He had brought me down to Largs to get taught from the kind of supersonic from Stephen Connick.
As a legend in the Largs.
Oh, aye. Yep, definitely. He taught me a lot, especially just in that kind of 1 year. Yeah. Played one or two games at the end of the season once it was all kind of done. Thought I quit myself quite well, and then I decided I was going to try and go 21s. I was going to go up Shamrock Rovers, and just as a kind of the pre-season came round, I had a chance to go an open trial with Morton. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and it just so happened like 2 to 3 weeks later I was in with the first team.
Brilliant.
I was starstruck, obviously being a Morton fan. It was surreal. So I was there for the best part of 2 years, just as a young chap, trying to get the best out of the goalies that were there, Colin Stewart at the time, Kevin Cuthbert.
Yes, I took the goalkeepers.
And it was just so fortunate enough that the two chaps were injured. Bryn Halliwell then came in as an emergency loan.
Was that Clyde boy?
So he came in an emergency loan, and his back went into a spasm for his first game, so I got the call. And then I played about 4 games, and that was kind of my Morton career. Just because of a young chap, was a bit overwhelming for me.
Who was the manager that gave you your debut?
It was actually Dave Irons.
Dave, oh yeah.
Dave Irons and Dave Collins.
Junior legend as well, Dave, yeah, at Kelly Rovers.
Aye, so they gave me a chance, and I thought I quit myself quite well. Made a kind of bit of a mistake against Partick in my last game, and then thankfully Colin had come in, because it was just one of them ones where I was at a young age and I knew when I was going to make a mistake, it was just going to be a bit too much. I was at Morton for the 2 years, and then I got a phone call for Brian Reid down at United, and asked me to come in. I was fortunate enough to get a clean sheet against them. It was one of my games at Morton, and he just asked me to come in, see how you do. Then Roman Jersey's there to play for. And again, it was just one of them ones where I tried my best, but David Crawford, who was there at the time, was a good goalkeeper, and he kind of took the number one shot for the kind of majority of the season.
Is that when he went to the semi-finals of the Cup and things?
We were going for promotion back into the Championship. Well, the old
First Division.
Because funnily enough, when I was at Morton, we had relegated there in the last game of the season. So I'd obviously went there, and we had managed to get up to the playoffs, we were breaking up there, which was amazing. And then the second season, we struggled a wee bit, but we managed to get to the semi-final, and that was amazing. We had held Kilmarnock for the best part of 120 minutes, and it just came to the last kick of the ball, and they get the goal. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the year I think they went on to win it. Mm-hmm. They had beat Celtic, so we were quite proud, albeit I was watching from the bench, but it was...
great atmosphere.
That was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. And the only other kind of experience I had before that was when I was at Morton, we played Kilmarnock. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, one of the games that I had played. So nearly saved a penalty from Connor Salmon, and then Kevin Kyle had scored a fantastic header. So it was amazing just to kind of get that vibe again from my stadium, because the stadium was packed. Mm-hmm. So many United fans, it was unreal, as well as Kilmarnock fans.
Yeah.
So I was there for the 2 years at United, and then I'd left and went to Albion Rovers. I spoke to Todd Lumsden, who was there at the time, because I'd previously been on trial the year before, just before I went to United. And he just said, look, come in. Again, number one jersey's there to be played for. And I tried my best. Unfortunately, he had signed another two goalkeepers. So it was Chris McCluskey, who was previously at Stenhouse Muir, and Matt McGinley, who was at Morton before that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was three of us playing for it, and I thought, I knew Chris was a very good goalkeeper, and Matty was really coming through and really showing his worth, because now he's obviously his co-bride. And I thought, I need to try and play games here, because at this point in my career, I really need to try and play games. So it was just fortunate enough that John Coughlin, who's still in Shire, was looking for a goalkeeper. And my pal, Paul Quinn, who was there, had mentioned that I was available. So I managed to get myself to Eastern Shire, played a few games, and luckily enough, I actually played at Ibrox, which was great.
Yeah, that's what I might be on the middle of the map, but I'm right here. You play Willets tomorrow?
Yes.
Am I right in saying Raymond Buchanan played in that same game for East Stirling?
Raymond had come in just after I had left.
Right.
We played the first home game at Ibrox that season, and it was the record crowd, and Dave Green was in the stand with the fans and stuff like that. And we held our own for about 15 minutes. We were up 1-0, and it was great. Absolutely fantastic occasion, and it was just unfortunate that after the first one, and the floodgates opened. I mean, the guys, we acquitted ourselves really, really well.
John actually signed a few juniors at that name, didn't they?
Ah, that's right. We'd signed Michael Herdy. I think he came from, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another boy, what's his name? I want to say Ricky Miller, and I think he came from juniors as well, East Side. I can't mind which one it was. Mm-hmm. So there was a few. There was a few pros as well, not from the team that had previously been in East Stirlingshire, because that was a good East Stirlingshire team, like Andy Rogers, etc. But I felt a decent team, and it was just a shame that we couldn't keep the score down from five. But I mean, the boys were phenomenal, and it set them up well for that season as well.
Right. So did you move into juniors after that?
So I'd left East Stirlingshire, come back to Albion Rovers, played about five or six games, and then it just didn't really work out for me. And it was just came around about January. Matty was playing in goal, doing really well, and Ryan Scully walked through the door on loan from Partick Thistle at the time. So I just knew myself that time was up, and I asked Todd, look, just let me go. I just want to play football. And it just so happened that the assistant at Largs at the time, Pat McElvogue was now the manager, because Sandy had left to go to Athley. And they brought me back in on an 18-month deal, and it was just so happened that the last kind of half that season, it was Stevens was retiring. And then it was just, it was a bit strange, because Sandy then had come back in.
That's right.
And we managed to get up through the playoffs, which again was another phenomenal experience, especially for Stephen to get us up with the last kind of penalty save. It was made set in stone that was going to happen, and it'll be down.
He deserved it after a career.
I still say to this day that he's the only goalkeeper I know from junior level that's never been capped. It should have been capped. It was an injustice. He was such a phenomenal goalkeeper.
Fantastic goalkeeper.
A bit unorthodox, but unbelievable.
He broke my heart a few times in the days when I was a true manager.
I could imagine.
Oh, it's a great keeper.
So I was at Largs at that time, and then the following year it was myself and Grant Weir that was there, kind of going for the number one spot, and it didn't really work out for myself. And again, it just sounds like it's this kind of recurring theme that's going on, that it's just not really working out. And Martin Campbell was at Greenock at the time, with John Paul Dow and John Boyd. And John Paul had phoned me and said, look, I know you're leaving Largs. Do you fancy coming to Greenock, my hometown? So it was a no-brainer. I went there and had a very successful kind of 4 or 5 years there.
Yeah.
Played a lot of games, which was great. Got to really get into the nitty-gritty kind of things. A few highs, few lows, especially when we went down that season to 5 goals against Yoga. It wasn't great.
Was that a difference, a 5-goal difference in the league?
5-goal difference. So we actually had a really, really good team that year. Likes of Ryan Begley, Paul Harkins, Jamie Campbell, myself, I'll just put into that. And Craig Brown was up front as well, with a few really, really good players. And it's just really surreal for the fact that we went and beat Glencairn 5-0 at the Ants Park, because we weren't in the stadium at the time. And we still managed to get down, and it was just gut wrenching. Really bad. Yep. So then Tommy had come in, Tommy Malloy. He'd come in after we'd been down, and we had a bit of a kind of tough season that year, because we had a lot of kind of changes. A lot of young boys coming in, boys from amateur who'd again done phenomenal. A few boys had stayed, like myself, Craig, Sean, and we really just kind of tried to knuckle down and stay in the league, and we managed to do that, which was great. And then I've left and I've went to Les Mahigo, and I spoke to Rab about going, and he says, look, there will be an opportunity to play, see how things go. And again, recurring theme, it just didn't really work out. So I said to Rab, look, let me go, I just want to play football. It's got to the point where I just want to play games. It's just the kind of feeling I had, and he respected that and let me go. And it was just coincidental that Alan Thompson had phoned me and says, look, we're needing a goalie for 3 games. A young goalie, Callum, he's getting sent off, get 3-game ban. If you could give us a hand, that would be fantastic. And we can kind of take it from there. And thankfully, I've done really well. And I've been there ever since.
That's interesting stuff so far, Ryan. So I'm going to go to a break and come back. We'll bring it up to date with Benburb, and we'll talk a few things about Benburb after the break.
Perfect.
Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with John Redmond and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back to Just the Juniors with myself, John Redmond, and I'm in conversation with the Benburb goalkeeper, Ryan McWilliams. Before the break, Ryan, we had a good insight to your previous history of the playing side. We've got you up to date now, where you've now joined Benburb.
Yep.
And obviously really enjoying it.
It's fantastic. As I said previously, Trigger had gave us the call, and I'd played the kind of 3 games that was required of me. And when I first went in, the boys were... they're so welcoming. I felt like part of the team right away. And my first game, funnily enough, we actually played Whitlets. And we won 4-0, which I would say flattered us to an extent, but we were well worth each goal we scored. And my initial thoughts when I was looking at the guys, I thought, this is a team we could go far. And they've shown that the whole season, even before I'd come in. They were doing really, really well. The only team that had beat them up to that point was Glencairn. And then again, when I was there, it was Glencairn. That's the only team that's beat us the whole season.
Which isn't a disgrace this season. Glencairn are a good side, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. By all accounts, the first game, it could have been more, but it was a tight affair. I think it was 2-1, I think. But the second game, we get trounced at home. 6-0. Wasn't great. And I think that was a good thing, though, for us, because... it made us really kick on and show our worth in the league. And it's one of the ones that's going to go down to the wire. It's only 12 goals in it between us.
You've led the league most of the season up to the last couple of weeks here, and then Kieran just took over you.
Well, it's been kind of back and forth. We managed to get a couple of points in front of Glencairn, and they managed to get a couple of points in front of us, and then we get back in front again. It's just been a yo-yo, and now it's poised quite evenly, and hopefully Coleside can do us a wee turn tomorrow, because I don't think they've been beat apart from Kell at home all season.
We certainly
had a tough time there when we went. It was 3-3. We were up 2-0 to start with. They got it back to 2-3, went 3-2 up, and it took a a last minute goal to get us a 3-3, and I think that's one of them ones where that point's done us really
difference.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You've moved to the new ground, obviously, and what's the atmosphere like there? I've not been in the new ground, but the old ground, I love going to and get set up.
Well, funnily enough, I'd never been to the old ground. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the new one, the new Tintagel Park, it's great. The facilities are phenomenal. Obviously, it's an astro grass park.
And how do you like doing that with a goalkeeper compared to the grass?
I do prefer grass.
Are you wary of diving in it? I don't think about it.
To be honest, it's just one of them ones. In training, it's all about kind of technique and try to do the right things. And you can really stretch yourself to an extent, but if you don't go the right way, you can hurt yourself. Usually in a game, you don't really care. You just try and save that ball, make sure it doesn't get in the goal. And I think a majority of goalkeepers would say that. I can go back when it was at Morton and remember Colin Stewart had said to me, I don't know how you can dive on that stuff the way you do, because it's going to hurt you when you get older. It's taking its toll, to be honest.
The game's changed a lot, isn't it, for goalkeepers? I mean, goalkeepers are really an extra defender nowadays, isn't it? You've got to be comfortable with the ball at your feet. Do you train that way, or do you practice that?
Well, 9 times out of 10, we're able to do our own thing. Me and Callum will go and kind of do our handling, our technique, our kicking, short stopping, mostly kind of on our own. But there is times where Alan's a great coach and he really integrates the goalkeepers into his training. And whether that be us being able to catch the ball within the drill or taking it our feet or even coming into the possession, we are involved a lot of the time, which is great. It's obviously changed from back in the day when you would just get put in and you would get ran, or you would just do possession or what have you. But no, it's benefited me. I'm not the most comfortable with the ball at my feet. But since I've been in, I've been a bit more confident. Young Calm's great, the ball at his feet. Really, really comfortable. But even at the age of 29, it's took me a bit of time to try and get used to the ball at my feet. I've always been the kind of no-nonsense, get rid of the ball and that's it. But the guys like to play. So I need to be wary of been trying to be able to get the ball down and give it to the guys that can pass it a little better than me.
Well, that's not a bad idea, is it, Ryan? You've been in that division now all season. How do you rate the standard? Quite high?
The standard's good. I think with the way the reconstructions went, I think it's still going to need to take time to settle. With no disrespect to any other club whatsoever. In terms of, I've played Glencairn a few times, and they have been really, really good this season. Even, like as well same previously, Kilsyth have been great. Again, Athlone, Cumbernauld, there's so many teams that you would think could get into the Premiership that are in the First Division. As we were speaking before we came on, it's one of the toughest leagues to get into and even to get out of. So I think we're doing well in terms of trying to get out of it, so we're nearly there. Touch wood, we can go on and make it a promotion and a league title.
And do you think there's still maybe four or five clubs vying for their positions? Rossvale, possibly Cumbernauld?
Rossvale have done well to get back into it. Obviously, they took a blip last week and beat off Glencairn, but they've still got games in hand. And I know they always say it's better to have the points on the board, but Rossvale have shown that they're able to get points anywhere they go, as well as Athlone, obviously, in third at the moment. And Cumbernauld are just kind of behind a wee bit. But again, it could go anyway. We're just hoping it goes our way.
Exactly. And Paul Lovering, your manager, I mean, Paul's a player, he was a winner, wasn't he? And does the manager the same way? Does he expect the most out of the players? And his time in the dressing room when he goes, you know, hear him, scare him?
Well, I'd previously played against Paul when he was at Airdrie. And you're right, the way he played is similar to the way he manages, but he's very calm with the way he manages. He knows what to expect from the boys, and as well as the boys know what to expect from themselves. And like any manager, if the boys aren't playing to a standard they should be, Paul will let us know. I mean, if he didn't, then he shouldn't be managing. He would say that himself. I think Paul's been great for me because he hasn't beat around the bush. He's told me exactly what my job is and
Brilliant.
and what to do. And basically, if I've had a dip, he'd let me know. Mm-hmm. And that's great, because from up until Greenock, I don't think I'd had that. Mm-hmm. And I really do appreciate that in terms of being a goalkeeper. From what I've been previously, it's just that way you don't really know what you're doing in terms of mistakes. They can happen. But no, Paul's been great for me.
Fantastic. Sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind, haven't you? I mean, you've got to let it be known as a manager to a player exactly what's required of him.
Oh, definitely. And I think sometimes in this day and age, I don't think it happens enough.
No, I don't think it does.
And you know yourself, the junior game's changed so much as well.
Huge difference.
Back in the day where you were going for a challenge and it wouldn't be even a foul, and now you're getting a red card for it. It's just
sometimes the ball was there.
Well, sometimes the ball wasn't
there. Aye, that was the good old days. But standard junior football has improved immensely, I think. And I don't know what it's because so many ex-pros are coming back into it, or what it's the pro-youth side of it as well, because there's a lot of pro-youths coming through now into the junior game that they don't make it at that age, and they decide to come into the junior game. Not doing it at Truden. Truden's got four or five from Clontarf and the Kilmarnock pro-youth side, and on that day, it's a treat to watch these boys playing football.
Oh, you're spot on. In terms of like the Bens, we've got a mixture of some senior players, some like senior junior players, and some young players. Our main striker, Cairn, is fairly young. Uh-huh. He scores a barrel load of goals. Uh-huh. And his jump is unbelievable. You'd think it was I'm going back here, but a young Spud Johnson
to
basketball. I mean, he was unbelievable how uh-huh. high he can get up. And we've got Willie McLaren, who's obviously a season pro. Uh-huh. He can make magic within, I mean, click your finger, could turn the game for us. And the show that we played Bells Hill in the West earlier on, and we struggled on the park, and Willie came on and just changed the
game.
That was it, and we were through. So we got a few good players.
That's what good managers are all about, aren't they? I mean, I'm pretty sure Paul will know that he can't get through the season with 10 young boys or 10 experienced boys, because one, you don't get consistency with the young boys, and two, the legs go in the older boys, so you do need that mix and match and all that, and he's got that.
Well, he's said that since I've been in, we're in it together. There's no individual that can pull us through it, and we all need to make sure that we stick together, because you know yourself, teams can go through lulls where then they get each other and it kind of crumbles and falls apart.
That's right.
Whereas I think the mixture that we have is great, because when we've been a wee bit inconsistent, although we're still winning games, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal, we've really stuck together and showed that our kind of determination that we do want to win this league. So it's been great.
Excuse you say that, because I was going to come to that point. An outsider looking in at your club, there's great team spirit there. I mean, and you're fighting for each other, and it just shows it. The game's not just winning a Saturday, it's winning a Monday and a Wednesday in the training ground as well, and nights out as well.
Ah, that's it. Like Monday, Wednesday, the training's great, the party's even better.
Can imagine.
And the occasional night out's great as well. When I first came in, my first night out was the Christmas night out, mm-hmm. and again, it was just a pleasure to be there. A couple of good stories that I can't mention.
Can you tell them, though?
No, unfortunately, I don't think a few of the lads are happy with it. No, it's good nights out, and we're hopefully going down to Newcastle at the end of the season as well. So
it's always a good night in Newcastle.
Looking forward to it.
It's a place that, when I was managing the boys that are drawing in that, we'd always meet Newcastle, Blackpool, some end of the season, get the boys away for a couple of nights, and it's amazing how it works.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean,
more so if you get promoted as well, it's an even better thing down the road, you know.
That would be good.
Aye. Looking at your committee, I mean, is Frank still there?
Frank's still there, yep. Aye. Frank will always be there, I think.
Frank's some man. Tell Frank I'm asking for him next time when you see him.
I will do.
A lot of things. Aye. Frank goes back years. What a player Frank was as well, with the bees and the lags and all that. And his enthusiasm just has rubbed off over him, Paul, as well. I can imagine Frank still being there, going through the chores on a Saturday.
Well, Frank's there. We know yourself, Frank's been our president for the club. He managed for the best part, was it 13, 14 years? And then obviously Paul took over. Mm-hmm. And Frank's kind of took a more to do with the welfare of the club. And we've got John and old Archie there as well, that are just phenomenal. And we've got Fuzz, who's like kind of the kit man,
right?
Who's again great, good camaraderie with the boys, good banter, and it keeps us motivated, which is great.
So fundraising again, the crop that maybe the listeners should know about, maybe they could come along and support the club if something happened in the next few weeks. Any kind of fundraising nights, sportsman's dinners, anything like that you could maybe.
Well, we've got a kind of player of the year do, and I'm pretty sure it's mid May. I can't even remember the exact date. Full enough, it's actually, I think it's the night before we go to Newcastle.
That could be messy, yeah.
So we've got that in the Rolls Royce Club. And I think it's just open to anyone to come. So family and friends are obviously coming, but anyone associated with Ben Burber that fancy coming is more than welcome.
What's your fan base like? Quite good support now that you're winning the games? And or has moving not, away made it a difference?
It's not bad. Compared to what our fan base was at Green when I was there, I mean, it was quite small. But we've got a contingent around about 40 to 50 guys. It can vary from time to time depending on who's playing, but I think that's just part and parcel. It's the same way the guys at St Rocks, they can have a good contingent, and then if Celtic's not playing, they've got an even better contingent, you know. So it really just depends on the day. But no, we've got a few fans that are there every week, which is great to see.
Fantastic, that was a good insight there to Benburg, Brian. Let's have a look back at last week's results. Now, we'll do through the East. Do you know much about the East side? One or two clubs, we'll touch on one or two of them.
I know a few clubs.
Good.
The two that I'd most knew were actually there. I think they're now in East of Scotland, which was Camlin and Linlithgow. So I don't know too much, to be honest.
So you're making an excuse to me,
aren't you? Well, I'm getting an early.
Not a problem, Paul. The first one we look at is the Super League. Downfield 4, Falkirk United 1. Now, big guy season. No, the own way just now, is it? No, it's the results only going Big John's way.
I know. I mean, looking at last year, they've done so well, and it just seems that it's been a wee bit of a struggle for him. It's a shame to see, because he's worked so hard at the club to get him where they are.
Yep.
And by all accounts, he's got a good bunch of boys, and a few of them have obviously moved elsewhere. Right. I think they had a young striker that went to Clyde, is that if I'm correct?
He did, so yes, that's right. See, it's hard to replace these boys for places like Falkirk, isn't it?
I mean, exactly. In terms of the location, I mean, it would be hard for boys if they were enticed to come through from this side. I don't know, personally speaking, I don't know what the finances are like or anything, so I couldn't really say, but it definitely would be hard for him.
The big man's working his fingers to the bone. He's doing well. If he can just keep him up there, that would be perfect, because it's a change of the league set up next year through East.
Oh, is it getting changed as well?
It's getting changed now. A club close to your heart, Kerrymuir Thistle. They had a good home win last Saturday. They won 5-3 against Forfar West End.
I look out for Kerrymuir. My wife's actually for Kerrymuir, so I always look out for their scores. Looking at last year, I don't think they'd done too great, but they'd managed to kind of hold their own, and it's the same this year. Obviously, looking at the league table, they're not far from JC with Falthouse, so I think they've still got a bit of work to do. But I mean, looking at that, they've still got a few games in hand there, so hopefully they can keep their spot in there.
Lockheed United did a comfortable 4-1 home victory over Glenrothes. It's only a matter of time before Lockheed claim that flag.
Oh, I mean Lockheed. I've been doing good, obviously 13 games in only, and they're in second, so goal difference is phenomenal. I can see them obviously getting by Broughty, who funnily enough put us out of the Scottish up there, so I can't see any problem with Lockheed getting that title.
Was it penalties you had deployed?
Well, it was actually before I had been there, but I think it was 3-0. I think there was a few sendings off as well, so yep.
We'll move on quickly for that one. Thornton Hibs, they're at home to Carnoustie, and they suffered a 1-0 defeat. I mean, that's a bit of a surprise, because Thornton Hibs were going well. Even we're talking about Scottish, they got to the latter stages of Scottish as well, before Quinn and put them out. But Carnoustie are up and down this season, and fortunately for them, last Saturday was an up, and 3 points away from home.
I mean, looking at where they are in the league, you can see, although they score 31 goals, you get the 36 against there. So it's been a kind of up and down in terms of attack and defence, but as you said, they've got that 1-0 now, which is obviously invaluable to them, especially against Thornton, who are obviously in front of them. So yeah, it'll be a bit of a good confidence boost for them.
Correct. And Whitburn, they suffered a 3-1 home defeat for Broughty Athletic, which put Broughty top of the league. But Whitburn have done well this season because they started very slowly and they've regrouped and got a good signing, one or two good signings in there. They moved up to third top in the division, so they were quite comfortable with the finish that season in this position.
Well, you can see yourself. I mean, they've scored a barrel load of goals, yeah, obviously the most goals in the league, if I'm correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it looks to me, in terms of their defence, it's obviously 48 goals conceded, but I mean, that can happen. When the year I was at Greenock, we had done quite well. Our goal ratio was quite even.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see it being a problem of where they are. Obviously, 20 games in, another couple of wins, and they couldn't be far off, but obviously we'd need Lockheed to really implode.
Yeah, but, and then on Monday night, Lockheed again had a game. They travelled to Downfield, but won 3-0 in that game. So that consolidates even more how strong they are. But on the downside to that, Ryan, if we jump forward to Wednesday night, the Lockheed will then play in the Thornton's Property League Cup at home to East Craig, and it's over a 3-1 defeat. So it doesn't surprise you when there's so many games. That's three games in so much time.
Huh? No, I mean, I completely agree. It must be tough for them, especially when you can see they've lost 3-1 at home to East Craig. And it's a tough one, although East Craig are up there as well.
Yep.
And their league, it was a tough one to take. I mean, you need to look back at our side of things. Wishaw, the amount of games I had to play last year.
Of the Scottish Cup semi-final, was it?
They've done so well to get there, and then the amount of games, it can take its toll on squads if they don't have a big squad. So it was what we're going back to saying earlier about Paul saying everybody is invaluable to the squad. Everybody needs to kind of chip in and work their own corner, you know?
That's exactly right. And just staying in that Thornton's League Cup, Carnoustie got another good victory from home at Broughty, 2-1 to take them through. So they're in form just now, Carnoustie, but maybe a bit late in the season to get their form.
It is a shame. I mean, it's a good result at Broughty by all accounts. I think Broughty were excellent when they played against us. It's a good scalp for them. Just a shame that brought it out, but it'll let them concentrate on trying to get a few more points to get away from Lockheed, but it'll be a tough one for them.
And Pumfers, in the last game that took place there on Wednesday night, they defeated Livingston 3-0 through at Livingston. Pumfers are going very well this season, and on Saturday they get through to the semi-final of the VTEC SMT 5 Lothian Cup by 3-1 against Newborough. So what a good season that is. If they can take the cup final, win a cup, and also they're going strong in the league, that's a fantastic season for Pumfers.
Aye, they're doing great. I mean, their goals speak for themselves, 73 goals already. Yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did go on and maybe get something there.
Into the north, a couple of games in there before we move across to the west side. The Premier League North, Cooper Angus, a club that lost 131 goals this season so far. They lost 6-0 at home to East Craigie. But when you see East Craigie turning out and beating Lockheed United, I mean, it must be a fair side, East Craigie.
I mean, as you say, they're doing really well. It's just a shame Cooper have obviously conceded a ridiculous amount of goals. Well, they've down tools and thought that it's a rebound job for next year. I don't know. It's one of them ones where it could have went either way in terms of their attitude. If East Craigie turned up the wrong one, it could have went very differently.
That's
but
right.
They've obviously put on a professional performance and won 6-0.
It's a hiding to nothing. I mean, when I can cast mine back to the early days when Hurlford United went through with 3-4 season without a victory, and then look at Hurlford now. So
yep,
it just shows you if clubs like Cooper Angus and that just stay and just battle away, they can bounce back.
Definitely.
Who knows what happens, what's round the corner, but just keep going. The Dee North End, top of the division, they had a 4-2 home victory over Scone Thistle. Now Scone were into third place, so that was a good tight game as you would expect, but 3 points for Dundee, they'll be happy.
Aye, definitely. Obviously, Dundee cementing their place at the top there by 2 points with a game in hand. And obviously, Scone have played a few games more. So, I know it's a good result for them. And I can see them probably just pushing on from there.
Yep. Premier League South, we went there and looked at a couple of games that took place in there last week. Bathgate 5, Lochgaily Albert 0. Now, Lochgaily are really struggling down there at the bottom of that division, haven't they? They've won 3 games out of 22, so they'll be a season, they'll be a club that won the season just finished the SAP.
Oh, I definitely. I mean, when you're conceding a lot of goals, it just seems it's never going to stop. And well, from my experience, you just want the ground to swallow you up, you know.
It does.
It's not great, but I know, as you say, that Bathgate are doing well, and played, obviously, the most games, but they're steady.
No, Bathgate are old, Ryan, that's for sure, but they're starting to come back, which is good to see.
Yep.
A game that was looking very close last Saturday night, Harthill 0, Armidale 3. Now, Stevie Carr on last Saturday, on for last Friday, and the Friday before with Derek Strickland on, so it was interesting to see the outcome of that one, because Derek Strickland had said that his club were doing well and scoring goals, and it's continued that. They've beaten them 3-0.
Aye, as you can obviously see, like Armadale are doing really well at the top of that league, and Harthill are kind of down the bottom end. But again, it's luckily for them that they're in a kind of group where a few points could get them right up to mid-table, so it's just one of them ones where, yep, Armadale's done well and they've kind of kicked on.
Aye. I mean, the Harthill boys will be pulling their hair out, little they've got left, because the week before they beat Lochkelly Albert, and then that's him beaten by Armidale, so it just shows you what 2-3 defeats in a row does to you in their league position, because they were sitting mid-table about 3 or 4 weeks back.
Aye, definitely, it's obviously beat off Lochkelly, it's a tough one.
It is.
And good for Lochkelly, but I can't really see them coming back from that, but it's, as you said, Harthill will be kicking themselves for that.
Rosyth 2, West Calder 1. Rosyth, they got to the latter stage of the Scottish Cup as well, which was a surprise because they were struggling in the league, but since they've now got Scottish, they've started picking points up in the league and they've moved up there now to about 5th, 6th bottom of the division.
Aye, it's a good result for them, and I know for a fact that this kind of stage of the season, the teams round about that kind of bit of the league table will be killing each other off, and it could be a chance for them to try and get back up and a wee bit safer up to the kind of mid-table area.
Right. Well done, Ryan, you're pleased to know that, says a look at least. We'll be a bit more comfortable. We'll bring you through to the west side now and have a look at one or two of the results from last week. And the first one will kick off in the Premiership. Clydebank 3, Renfrew 1, which is a bad result for Renfrew because they're really chasing the points.
Aye, Renfrew are looking to try and kick on. I think they've had a few not bad results, but
done well recently, yes.
Aye. But my pal Nicky, he's at Clydebank, he's obviously just became the leading goal scorer of the year. I can't mind if it was Renfrew the goalie scored. I think it was, and he's something like 35 yards out and he lobbed it over the goalie. The other side, he's a phenomenal player. The Clydebank are doing good. It's just a shame Renfrew were hopefully try to kick on and get some points.
Well, good players at Clydebank, and Kieran's playing good football as well.
Kieran's doing really well with him. Kieran was at Morton just for a week and a small bit with me. But Kieran's done a really good job at Clydebank. The boys are really working well for him. And at one point they were actually up at second, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they are.
And it just seems that it's kind of tailed off. But I mean, they've got a decent amount of wins, and they're scoring a lot of goals, so they're doing no bad.
Sitting there comfortable in the middle of the table. Glenafton 1, Rob Roy 0. Now Rob Roy's situation is the same as Renfrew. They really needed the 3 points, but unfortunately they didn't get them down at Glenafton. But Southie's team sitting there top of the division, it's not a good season for Glenafton, although he would say no because they haven't won the league, but I think it's hard to keep up the form that they showed the last couple of seasons and maintain it.
Well, you know yourself, I mean, anywhere up the top three is a good season, especially in that league.
You see the clubs that's involved there, isn't it?
Aye, definitely. I mean, you're thinking the majority, I mean, every team in that league deserves to be there.
Yeah.
And we were talking about previously, even in our league, you're thinking there's a few Premiership teams in there as well. So it's a competitive league. And it just shows, especially with the games that are coming thick and fast.
Yep. Harrow United, they have defeated Paul by 3-0, and that keeps them placed at the top of the division for the time being anyway, but they've got the Talbot hot in their tails. But all the boys at Harrowford can do is keep winning and just hope other clubs slip up.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Harrowford, apart from obviously defeating the Cup,
yeah.
They're on cruise control. Obviously, the 3 draws and 3 losses, they won't be happy with, but I mean, they've got the points on the board, which is great, but you know yourself, Talbot are always on their heels, and games in hand don't really mean a lot to them. They'll get the points in the board.
They just showed you, because the next game I'm looking at is Kilburnie 0, Talbot 1. Now, Talbot's done this for years. It comes to the end of the season, people are also, you know, too many games, but they just plod away, and that's when they beat Kilburnie 1-0. I think they beat Clydebank 3-2 last midweek, and it's odd goal, but it's odd goal that wins games, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, it'll be a tough one for Kilburnie, especially when it's only the 1-0 kind of result. Yeah. And Kilburnie have been wanting the points as well. I mean, they were going through a sticky patch at the start of the season, because Kilburnie actually trained the other side of ourselves.
Yep.
And they were really, they were toiling at a point, but they've managed to kind of recover a wee bit, and it's just a shame they couldn't try and get even a draw.
I think it's great credit to Liam, because he actually, he's come in there and he's now bit by bit getting his own team into the place, and he's turned it around about.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, it's safe to say he's steadied the ship and he's managed to get a few points on the board, which is great.
I think they still could maybe do another victory just to maintain it, just to say, well, we're safe now. But the fact that they're in that position just now, if you go back 5-6 weeks, through the season, they're one of the favourites to get relegated at that point.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you. Just one of them ones where you didn't know where they were going to get a point from. And as you say, they've just been lucky enough that they've got a few results and it's kind of went their way.
The derby between Largs and Bede finished 0-0. A better point for Largs than it is for Bede, do you think? Or vice versa?
I think it's one of them ones where Largs have consolidated their kind of position in the league. They'll be fully concentrating on the cup final, which is understandable. And Bede, again, I've got one game maybe in hand that it's not really going to get them anywhere like close to the title, so it's again, it's one of the ones that's kind of where both teams have really kind of finished the season in a sense. But Larg, in fact, actually, I tell a lie, because Bede are still in the West,
they play Trin tomorrow, yep.
And obviously, Largs have got the Scottish as well, so it was just one of them ones where it could have probably fizzled out, which is exactly what's happened.
So, how do you think they play it at Largs? Do you play a full team to keep them match fit, or do you rest people because they're against cup final quarter? The players get the cup final in the back of their mind, do they know giving their 100% as well? It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Aye, I mean, only Arne could tell you, could they? It's just one of them ones where, I mean, the boys, just from speaking to the guys, because I've got a few good friends there, they're the fittest they've ever been. Arne works them hard. It was the same when Slavs was there. Works them very, very hard, but they appreciate it, and I mean, the results have showed themselves and how well they've done, especially, I mean, they've used a large part of their squad throughout the season. I think Marty Orr might be one of the ones that's leading in appearances, but the rest of them are not far behind.
We're talking about Paul Lovering managing the way he played. Well, Arne's the exact same. Arne was fit when he played, when he box to box and liked to tackle.
Thankfully, I don't think I've ever played against Arne. I think, I tell a lie, I might have come on once when Stephen got injured. And
he's a bit of Talbot these days, was he?
No, he played at Kilburnie, did he?
Was he? Was it Troon and Talbot? I'm not sure about Kilburnie.
Maybe getting mixed up, but I thought for some reason he played for Kilburnie.
Maybe he did, I'm not sure. I'm not too sure about that. In the final game, Troon 7, Cambus Lang 1 now. Cambus Lang just another team that just knew, let's get a season by. Alan Parson went to regroup, get a team together, and hopefully get back up promoted next season after the woes of this season.
Aye, definitely. I mean, it's been a tough old season for them, especially what's happened. It's a shame, because they're a big club. But it's just one of them things where it's the same in terms of the league below with that call. They just want to try and regroup and look for next season.
Yeah. On Wednesday night, there's three games took place, very important games there as well. Ryan, Talbot won, Meadow won. Now, Meadow, what a season they've finished up. They've been fantastic, haven't they?
Ah, they're flying. It's, again, if you look back previous seasons, you thought it was the end of Meadow. I mean, they were in a dire place. But they've done phenomenal. I mean, looking at the table, they're fourth in the league, and they've been comfortable the majority of the season. They've done really well.
I mean, almost from Christmas, they've been safe enough to regroup and worry for next season, but even Big Gintz has got a chance to get a 6-game suspension, so he can sit a back seat just now. That's how comfortable
he is. He can go on about a garden leave, maybe.
Knowing the big man, he'll still be pulling the strings for somewhere.
Aye, no doubt.
Connacht Rangers won, Hurlford 2. Now, that was an important 3 points for Hurlford. We spoke before with Talbot doing their back, but Connacht, they've lost their way a wee bit in the last few weeks. I don't know whether off the field kind of talks affecting them on the field, or whether they're in our club who's at, we're safe now, so let's get one eye on the holidays.
It's a strange one. I mean, because you know, yourself, Kilwinning and Horrifield's a tasty tie.
It is.
And not many people go to Abbey Park and get a result, you know.
No.
So I know Hurlford, as I said before, they're in cruise control. It's just a shame that Cowan have not managed to try and even get a draw at the game.
I know, Roy, they've done so well. They're good. They get 3 points at home to Peters Hill last week.
It's a great 3 points for them. I mean, Peters Hill, we played when I was at the Gow earlier on, we played Peters Hill in the section and managed to get a result. And from there, we thought, aye, they might struggle, and it's shown. But it's a good 3 points for Rob Roy.
Well, that's last week's result. Let's have a quick look. We've got 5 or 10 minutes left, so we'll look forward to tomorrow here. Ryan, we'll start in your own division, obviously, in the Championship, where Craig Mark entertains St Rolfe's. That's a tricky game for St Rolfe's going down there to Dumbarton.
It's a big game for both. I mean, I think St Rolfe's should be there or thereabouts anyway. But it's huge for Craig Mark. They're looking to try and
consolidate one or
two half decent results. So they're looking to even try and get a 3, and it would be very good for them to try and get that and get into that kind of 20 points barrier.
I noticed they'd signed Greg Vernon from Darville as well. So,
that's Greg, a good signing.
He knows the way to go, so that might help them slightly. That's a good signing for them.
Yep.
Cumbernauld, who are looking to get out that division at last this season, they play Keller Rovers. Now, we spoke before about Keller Rovers. It depends what Keller Rovers team turns up. And I'm hearing the midweek that Keller Rovers manager has said he'll leave at the end of the season. And I don't think, speaking out of turn, I'm going to say that Paddy Cleland, the ex-Darvo manager, Whitlock's assistant manager, he's going to take over next season. So, all change at Keller.
Aye, that could be good for them. I mean, as you say, they've been up and down. I mean, looking at the result against Glencairn, it's not great for them. Not great for any team to losing that amount of goals, but Cumbernauld will be going there full of confidence, still well within the kind of hunt for promotion, so they'll be looking to try and, with no disrespect to Kelly, to try and get as many goals as they possibly can, you know.
That's right. I say this often, and for years I've been doing it to Kelly, obviously playing down there. It doesn't matter whether you've got a good team or a bad team, it's always a difficult place, Kelly itself, to go to, and if they can just get their waveform up a wee bit, they'll be there laying about next season in the division they're going to.
Yep.
Girvan, another team who really need the points tomorrow, they entertain Lark Hall, who the slight we pick up there for a few weeks, but they're not losing heavily, but they're still losing games, and Girvan, Ian Parson, looking to get 3 points to keep the pressure on Craig Martin, Irvine Vex down there.
I mean, it'll be a huge game for both teams. Girvan, we had played them a few weeks ago and they're not too bad. I mean, it's just a shame where they're holding their own for a certain amount of time, and then it just seems to kind of not fall
quite comfortable
end
up, didn't you?
I think it was four. But it was just one of them ones where we kind of went through the motions, and down there we got a great result. But yeah, it was just one of them ones. But Lark Hall, again, we struggled against them. So it could be a tasty tie, it could go anyway.
Ross Vale, look at a tricky tie. They're heading out to Irvine Vex tomorrow, and that's a wee tight part down the Victoria Park.
Who knows
what happens down there?
I expect Ross Vale to maybe get something, but I mean, going by a couple of weeks ago, Glencairn struggled to get something. I mean, the last minute penalty it took them to get something in the game, so it could be a tricky one for them.
Your own club, you head down to Ayr tomorrow, Whitlock's Vex, so we're talking earlier on. Whitlock's on a big physical side, and we spoke earlier on about Raymond Buchanan, who's a danger at set pieces, a big Raymond, and Isaac Kerr.
Man Mountain.
You can expect to get bundled into the goal tomorrow a couple of times, I think, Ryan.
I hear something, that's not the case.
big man, he'll be there. Yeah. But they're a good side when they play football. They've got one or two players that can really play the game.
They've got the boy, is it Forsyth? Was it Trent?
Aaron Forsyth,
very tricky. I mean, we play them.
Scored something like 37 goals this season.
Aye, that was my first game, and it done well. I mean, we had a few problems with our strikers, but it'll be definitely a tricky tie for us, but hopefully we can get away with 3 points.
Well, there goes the final whistle for tonight. My thanks to my guest tonight, Benburb goalkeeper Ryan Williams. All the best yourself, Ryan, and Ben's for the rest of the season, and tomorrow, obviously. To our listeners, thanks for listening. Up next, First Play Friday with Michael Lenny. Really good show. It's worth a listen to. If you don't switch off after this show, listen to the music. We'll finish tonight with a song from Barry Ryan. Can't Let You Go, but unfortunately, we've let you go. So until next time, and just the juniors, take care and bye for now.
Yeah.
Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with John Redmond and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.